We're back for 2019, and RuneScape is coming in hot with the Mining and Smithing rework. We run through all the mechanics and then some. We cap it off with a discussion of how to learn from this update going forward, applying it to the rest of 2019. This is RSBNB Update, episode 706, recorded Thursday, January 10th, 2019, Between a Rock and a Great Place. Hello, everybody, and we are back. First episode of RSBNB Update in 2019. Feels weird saying 2019, doesn't it, Tanis?
Yeah, man. 2019. Here we are.
And joining
joining
us for this week's first inaugural episode of 2019 is Dave. Dave's back. You know, mining and smithing rework. Had to be you.
Oh, yeah. For those of you that don't know, I feel like a broken record last year. But yes, smithing was my first 99, so this skill definitely has a place in my heart. So it's good to be back, and it's good to kick the year off with some good content. So
absolutely. And you know, I think what we just need to start off with this, and you know, you might see this as just being overly hyped towards the JMods and whatnot, but when you look at this update is one that has been talked about for years. I can't remember the first time we heard about it. It has to have been like RuneFest 2013. Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It's been in the works for a long time, and I think probably half of this update is just like, oh my god, it's actually here, and as bad as it sounds, they followed through with it. Like, it's here, it's awesome, and it's like one of the things that they've talked at RuneFest for this long that actually delivered, and it's basically everything they had mentioned. So.
Yeah, and you know, the last two times I've felt like this in RuneScape was when Prif was first released, because you know we had been counting down for Prif for over a decade. That's the only thing that had a longer run than the mining and smithing rework did. And aside from that, you know, watching and waiting for that moment back in 2017, the fall of 2017, when Star Trek came back on TV after not being on since 2005. So that's the kind of moments we're talking about, the kind of moment that is something that you always hope to happen. You're never sure if it will because of the huge amount of logistics and whatnot that are required behind it. But lo and behold, here we are, and it's a surreal moment to be in and be a part of. So,
for a moment like this, some people wait a lifetime.
No, thank you.
No.
I don't even. I know that's one of. I know that's one of the American Idol singers, but I don't know who that is, and I would prefer not to have that song on the
not.
Show. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Dave knows, but anyways.
I'm proud to say I have no idea. You have more on me because I didn't even know it was an American Idol singer.
Oh,
so
okay.
Take that for what it's worth.
All right, fair
I
enough.
I didn't either. So Shane actually knows more than both of us. I just remember.
A little scary.
I just remember the tune. Oh.
Clip show is fresh in your mind.
It is. I didn't realize how much I sing on the show, but I think you're exactly right. I wanted to say one of the lead devs, Dag, is that?
Oh, Dag. Jack? Yeah, Dag was on the project, and then he got moved.
Okay, then it might have been Jack. Anyway, it was one of them was on the stream this week and said it went back like 6 years, the first time it was mentioned.
Probably Jack then, because I remember He said, I don't know if this was on stream or at RuneFest, he said, last time, when we first started talking about this, I had hair.
That would be unfortunate to keep track of it like that.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Well, here's the crazy thing, though. Like, I guess it had been 18 months in development.
Yeah.
Like an actual development time. I mean, I don't know. Is that a long time, Shane? It seems like not too bad.
It's for RuneScape, it's on par with a new skill. New skills take about 9 to 12 months each. So, and this is effectively two new skills. So 18 months is about where it would be.
Right. Okay. Well, they could have took another 18 months if they were going to give me something that's awesome. I mean, really. This is an example of like when you get just really damn good developers and the community has just enough input at the right moments to kind of help steer the project, and then trust Jagex is going to do what they need to do if they have the time to do it. And so they can't tell us that they can't do things anymore because we know better now. Like, no, you can do things.
It's
like
just a question of resources. You know, that's the general sentiment with this update. Everyone I've talked to, you know, aside from the few naysayers and whatnot, say that this is a really good update. And for anyone who says it's not a really good update and has problems with it that are not gameplay breaking, that aren't, you know, bugs in your game client, if you don't like this and if you don't think this is a good update, I'm going to tell you to go play Old School.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you are complaining about this update for any other purpose other than that you have found a game-breaking bug on launch, there is nothing to complain about, because what we have here in the game this week is exactly as what we had in the beta back in November.
Yeah.
And everyone got to sample it and put their feelers out back then.
I would have to say that I would be skeptical of anyone even saying that. I mean, I would just be skeptical. I haven't heard of anything like that. So
no, there hasn't been.
It hasn't happened, but I haven't heard. That's fine. Go play Old School. I don't even think it's like, you know, I've seen people already saying, oh, it's going to be the update of the year. Oh, very well could be, but for me, it's the update of the whole time I've ever played.
Well, we're gonna we have a conclusion for this, and
I'm hyped about this thing, man.
I'm going to digress just real quick here. Speaking of development time and skills, I'm going to blow everybody's mind. Invention came out 3 years ago. It seems like it was last year. Maybe that's just me.
Well, it feels like it was last year because it was at the tail end of the 2017. You got Invention Batch 2, which is what really fleshed out the skill.
Okay, yeah, that's very true. Okay, anyway, I was on the wiki here because we were talking about new skills. I was like, yeah, Invention. Wow, 3 years ago in 2 weeks. That's crazy. Anyway,
yeah, 3 years ago, I remember, like, if you did Invention when it first came, it wasn't as nice as it is now.
It was disassembly. It wasn't Invention. So,
well, that was like the first week or so, but
your gizmos or whatever. Anyway, this isn't Invention. This is
right. Yeah, right.
Okay, so are we ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
So first and foremost, we're going to, for the purposes of this podcast, and I think everybody should look at this in this way, that this is effectively relaunching two of RuneScape's oldest skills. I don't think there's anything wrong with
these
that.
These are the OGs.
Yeah, and the OGs, right?
If you log into the game this week, you see Mining and Smithing rework, and it's 18 years since RuneScape first came out. What a fitting way to move into the 19th year of RuneScape, 18. Its 18th birthday, to relaunch two of the original skills that came out 18 years ago. And to do that, what music track backing do they put on that? They put the music track backing, the brand new RuneScape theme that was recorded at Abbey Road for the login screen. Well,
oh, wow. Well,
hell yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Exactly. So two completely new skills, and what we're going to do here is we're going to talk a bit about each of the skills, and we're going to go through the mechanics of them, and you know, we're just going to jump in and have this chat throughout the entirety of it. So,
we're getting in the weeds.
Yes, we will get into the weeds. Now, we're going to start with mining, because of course I think mining is the one that has changed the least, but with that being said, there are still very unique mechanics available to mining, because When you think back to mining used to be, okay, you're just going to go mine a rock. You're going to compete with other players, and now there's no competition, which makes it a whole lot easier. And I always remember trying to hunt down rocks that you would need to find, and you know you'd try and find an empty world, and that wouldn't necessarily be something you could always do. So that's the first thing that is new with mining, is that, as we talked about many times before, the rocks are now non-competitive. Everybody can be on the same rock, and there's no penalty towards that. And I think that is the biggest change to mining in the mining skill rework.
It's one of the best. I mean, the way that they – and let's face it, I can't say that resource scarcity should have ever been like a mechanic anyway. I mean, I guess maybe that's just how it was done, but I don't know. I like the fact that if you want to skill, you can go skill. And, you know, there's for a long time we've been talking about the decline kind of in the social aspect of the game, when it, at least publicly, and this just really helps that. I see people, like I see public chat just popping off all week long mining. So, I think it made a big difference.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been playing since 2004, and you know, you had the three gathering skills. You had, you know, fishing, woodcutting, mining, and mining was always the odd one out. You'd always have, you know, 75 woodcutting, 80 fishing, and then you got 50 mining, because, you know, the click intensity and just the attention span you have to have for that is a lot more. It's just like, oh God, I got to go mine. You know, even if it was just drop mining iron, it was still just so click intensive. So I'm glad they finally kind of brought it up to speed with the general consensus of gathering, even with divination and whatnot. So,
and with the non-competitive nature of it comes the stamina aspect of the game. And this is, in many ways, by default, and it should remain this way, but more on that in a bit, a hidden mechanic when you're mining. Basically, what happens is that you have a set amount of stamina, and it recharges up to 100% every time you hit a rock, and it decreases by 10 for every swing. And if you are hitting the rock at 100% stamina, you're going to get a plus 25% damage boost. And what this means by damage is that every rock has a set amount of hit points to it. And once you reach that hit point number and you have mined away that amount of hit points on the rock, you get that piece of ore. So every time you click, you recharge your stamina bar, you get a plus 25% damage boost. But if you're between 1 to 99% stamina, you get a 12.5% damage boost to your rock. And if you're at zero or full AFK mining, you don't get any damage boost to that rock. And this is the mechanic that has been baked into the mining skill that rewards active gameplay, and in particular, four tick mining, so that if you wanted to click every 2.4 seconds, you can do that and you'll get that 25% damage boost for your rock. And, you know, this is the great part about the mining and smithing rework, and we're going to see this be a consistent theme throughout this update, is that there are choices for the way that you play. You can mine actively, you can mine semi-actively, or you can mine fully AFK. And you're rewarded for being more active. And that speaks to really good design decisions on the part of these skill reworks. And that's why, for me, this is such a special update. So I'll just go into why the stamina is important once again. And, you know, aside from the damage boost on the rock, when you're mining and let's just say you're four-ticking that rock, you're going to see that if you're four-ticking, you're going to be continually getting green sparks appearing out of your rock. That means you're on pace and you're four-ticking the rock and you're getting the maximum amount of damage boost that you can get out of it. But if you let your stamina boil down to be mid-range, the spark color will change to white, and the sound will change subtly as well. And if you go all the way down to zero, the sound will change once again, and the spark will disappear. That's perfect. It's perfect.
Yep.
That's excellent.
Yeah, I really enjoy the sound cues.
And, you know, people
the sound cues.
Oh?
Yeah. The sound cues are one of the deep... This is one of my favorite touches to the whole thing.
Okay.
You know, and I think that maybe they're put in for AFK purposes. I don't know. Maybe it's like that and the active gameplay. But for me, it was a quality of life change. And I hope they incorporate this a lot more. Like a lot more. Because it... it just really helps someone that's using magnifiers and everything else and doesn't, you know, see real well.
Yeah. Now, do we want to have a bit of a math rundown of how this damage calculation actually works?
Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. So the biggest factor in the damage that you're going to do to a rock is your mining level. Hands down. So that means things like the Mining Cape and the Lava Titan are especially helpful with that. Now, the next part that factors into it is your strength level, but this is only by a factor of 10. So that means if you have 99 strength, you're going to get a plus 9 damage boost. But if you have 70 strength, you're going to get a plus 7. So it doesn't really factor in that much. It's at most, you know, 9 if you're just looking at the base values, and if you take it up to an overload, that'll be 11. So not too much to write home about there with strength. So it's up for debate if you want to max out all the way and use strength potions. I personally don't think it's needed, but you might have a different opinion if you want that extra plus 2. Now, the next part of the damage calculation is the actual damage roll that happens with your pickaxe. And pickaxes are actually an important part of mining now because, you know, for the longest time we just had the crystal pickaxe at tier 70, right?
Yep.
But now we have the tier 80 Imkando pickaxe as well as the Bane pickaxes with their respective upgrades. And then the Elder Rune all the way to plus 5 at tier 90. And then the Earth and Song pickaxe, which is the ultimate in terms of damage and whatnot for a pickaxe. And that one can also be augmented. So if you look at all these pickaxes, they have a minimum and a maximum and an average damage roll, and then it's this calculation somewhere in between that factors in to how well you're going to do. So that's the next biggest part, is the damage roll. Now, to give you just a bit of a picture of what we're looking at here, a tier 90 pickaxe has an average damage of 95, whereas a tier 80 Imkando pickaxe has an average damage of 84, the crystal pickaxe 74, the dragon pickaxe 63, and so on and so forth. So you can see here that upgrading from that crystal pickaxe to an Imkando or Bane pickaxe is going to be substantial for the amount of damage that you're going to do to that rock. Now, the next part that comes into this is the hardness factor, and this is not an issue if your pickaxe exceeds your pickaxe's penetration exceeds the hardness of the rock. And every rock out there has a hardness value. So, for example, the light and dark Anamica have a hardness value of 235, whereas if you look at the Saren stones, those are only 140 in terms of hardness. So at 235 for the light and dark Anamica, if you look at the pickaxe of Earth and Song or the Elder Rune pickaxe, that also has a penetration value of 235. And then you basically subtract penetration minus hardness. And then if you get a negative value with that, you're going to have to add in if you get a positive value with that, you're going to add in to that. And it only factors in if you're using a pickaxe that is less than. You'll take a penalty, basically. So, and then finally, there's crits. And I think crit bonuses are interesting, too, because this is another way of improving your mining, is that you can now build your pickaxes to focus on critical chance. So what you can do is that you'll see critical swing, and this will just make everything seem like it's working a lot faster on that. I've actually been tinkering around with this. I've been using the Greater Quarrymaster aura and been enjoying that side of it. Have you guys had a look into any of that?
Yep, I was actually firing mine up right when you said that.
Okay. So to recap, you basically have your mining level. You have your strength level divided by 10, rounded down. A damage roll, which is determined by your pickaxe. So far, the biggest two factors are your mining level and the pickaxe you choose. Then you have the hardness value, which is basically the penetration of your pickaxe minus the hardness of the rock. But you only add this in as a penalty if the value of that subtraction of penetration minus hardness is negative. Then finally, you have the crit bonus, which is just the which is just the cherry on top. So now, with this, I think I don't know. I haven't done enough testing on this, but I feel as though that focusing on crit is going to be perhaps one of the more interesting and more min-max ways of mining going forward. But I haven't got my Earth and Song pickaxe yet. Yeah, I don't. I didn't have a Gilded Dragon pickaxe or the full suit before this. I should have got that from Vic, but I didn't. And because there's also augments that can increase crit chance as well. So you can see where we're going with this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, DPS for skilling.
Exactly. That's right. And when was the last time we had this amount of choice?
Never. I guess we'll get to that, but no. We've never had this kind of a
We've never really had choice. Like a quote like build for like I've never really heard build for RuneScape. Like you'd think build is like, okay, we're gonna go to God Wars, I'm gonna do you don't even have like a mage build or a ranged build. Like build is just a foreign word in the RuneScape community, so I really like that that's kind of made its way in, especially in skilling. So you can customize the way you do it. Like that's just awesome. I love it.
Precisely.
Yeah, I mean yeah, skilling has its boost, you know. I mean, you know how to boost everything, right? And stack your bonuses, but never has it been a choice between I want to do a critical hit build for mining versus, you know, like, I don't know, maybe there's, I don't know if you could do like a stamina type of something.
Well, the other option is to use the resourceful aura. And the difference between that one, the resourceful aura gives you an extra chance of getting geodes. But that's interesting too, because you can pull an onyx out of one of those.
Huh?
You can pull an onyx out of the one of metamorphic geodes.
Really? Because all I pulled out was a spirit shard so far.
Yeah, that's because you haven't got a metamorphic geo.
Okay.
So, all right. And now I'm just going to resume here and talk a bit about the critical chance calculations on this. So every rock has a critical chance. By default, you get a 10% critical chance when you unlock the ability to mine that rock. And it increases at a different level range for each rock. For example, Runite, 10% crit chance at level 50 when you unlock. At level 56, you get a 20% crit chance. And at level 58, you get a 30% crit chance. Whereas if you're looking at the Animicas, level 90 is when you unlock it. 91, you get that 20% crit chance. And at level 97, you get that extra 30% crit chance with that. And then when you – the interesting side of this is that as you level up your mining skill, your critical hit bonus also increases to a point where at level 99 mining, you get 100 extra damage when you critical hit.
Oh, that's cool.
Level 87 is 95, 84, 90, and then it ticks down, so on and so forth from there. So you can see where the critical chance build comes in, is that if you're mining something like Animica or Bane, you're going to be hitting these critical hits, and you're going to just take that HP away from that rock, and you're going to mine just a little bit faster. And if you're going for, you know, 120 mining or something, this is something you're going to want to look into going forward with this. So, and this is the depth that we're looking at with this. It's a question of, on the aura side, do I go for the critical chance or do I go for the increased chance of geodes? And that's the kind of choice that we're looking at with right here for this. So, I don't know if either of you guys are going to go down this path, but this is something I intend to look at this weekend, assuming I can get an Earth and Song pickaxe done relatively soon.
That's the only thing that would be slowing me down with that. I went ahead and did the Elder Rune 5, which is really close to the Earth and Song.
Yeah, it's exactly the same, except it can't be augmented.
Right, and the thing with the Earth and Song is I always had trouble with those fairy things that's supposed to pop out that you collect at the lava flow to get it.
Yeah.
So I don't have any of the outfit, actually, so it'd probably take me a while.
I can actually tick this off the list. I was going to mention this later, but the Lava Flow mine has had its RNG completely removed. So every half hour, you'll get one of those gold nymphs to come by and give you your piece of the gold outfit. The only thing you'll need to then track down is the four pieces of the Mkando pickaxe, which you can do by using one of the French chats. So
Okay.
They've completely removed RNG from that.
That's awesome.
Well, that's really, really cool. I wonder if they made it any easier to see that check.
There's a chat message.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And it appears right in front of you where you're mining.
Did you have to look at the chat, though?
Yeah, and it goes lava. I want to talk about the new ores and whatnot first and just where they're at, but actually, let's do that first. So one thing I noticed and we talked about before with this is that if you go into the mining skill guide and you just, you know, set it to everything, you're basically going to see that the amount of stuff in these skill guides is on par with what you have in a skill like Invention now. That's how much stuff was added with this.
Which is awesome.
And, you know, we look at the core mechanics changes and whatnot on top, but there's all these little things throughout, and they're in the mining guide in game. So, you know, just have a look at that, and you'll end up seeing everything that's there.
Definitely think it's the gold standard for skill guides, pun intended. So we'll run with that.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the invention perks, because, you know, this is something that people are going to be wondering about, too. And, you know, I think there's lots of choices with this when it comes to the Earth and Song pickaxe. So the charitable perk is the same. It only works on core rocks. Cheapskate perk only works on the core rocks. Polishing will only work on the core rocks, as is the case right now. Now, honed is interesting, because this one, at its various levels 1 through 5, give a choice of 2, 4, 6, 8, or 10% double ore chance.
Oh.
So if you're mining Animica,
that's what I would want,
to go for your Masterwork set, honed was a good option.
Mm-hmm.
Furnace, 5, 10, or 15% chance per swing to generate no progress, but double the XP.
Yeah.
And then there's also some smithing perks and whatnot, but we'll talk about that later in the smithing segments. So with the perks on the pickaxe, you either have a choice of geodes, double ore, or not getting progress but getting double XP instead. So
yeah, I think I'd have to get me some double ore chance.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one right there.
Whereas if you were going for XP, you would probably choose the geodes, just to have that extra chance of, you know, getting an onyx throughout the way or something like that. Because if you have one of your geodes upgraded to a metamorphic geode, and every time you open that up, it's an equal chance for what you're going to get. There is no different rarities inside those metamorphic geodes. Everything is equal.
Oh, that's cool.
So
I don't think I've ever gotten one of those, though.
Yeah, I got a couple of them when I was mining Animica during a Trehearne hour. So, but anyways, let's talk about the ores. So, you know, there's all the new ores and whatnot that you can get in-game. And, you know, there's the new ores that are used for making rune and adamantite bars, which is luminite. Then there's ore calcite for dracolith, necrite and phasmatite at tier 70. Bane doesn't have a secondary at tier 80. It just needs two ores for one bar.
Yep.
And then the two Animicas, light and dark, at level 90. And I don't know, did you guys have a look at the mining sites? What do you guys think for mining sites on these?
Yeah, I think they're pretty balanced. I'd noticed that they had mentioned something about the dark Animica moving to the empty throne room.
Yeah.
I believe there was another spawn in the beta in November.
It was right outside at the dig site, and they moved it inside for here.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, that makes
sense. Everyone can access it. There's only one of them, whereas there's two or more for every other one, which, you know, I think there should be a second Dark Animica added somewhere. Quest-based, maybe, dare I say it, in the heart after Sliske's endgame is complete.
Well, but isn't where we're at now, like the throne room's a quest behind a quest?
No, it's not behind a quest. It was a little mini event.
What? I thought it was like where we saw Zaros actually get taken down.
They did use that in a quest for a cutscene, but that was open. That area was open to everyone for a community event.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, what gets really interesting for the ore side of this is that if you are running around in game and you want to see where the ores are, all you need to do now, and I expressed my amazement at this when it was in beta, all you need to do now is you just need to open the world map, move your mouse around, and lo and behold, you can hover over every mining site and see what you're going to get.
What a concept.
Pretty sweet.
This is 18 years in the making. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's my number one tip to everyone out there, is if you're looking for ore locations, just open the world map and you'll find them. Now, some of the best locations for the ores I think you guys are going to be interested in. I'd say for Luminite, if you're looking to make rune bars now, your best bet is going to be either in the Dwarven Mine. Yes, the Dwarven Mine has been shifted down there. Or the Mining Guild Resource Dungeon for Luminite. That's the tier 40 secondary. For Runite, I think your best choice is actually in the Mining Guild, believe it or not.
Throwing it way back.
Yeah. For Ore, Calthite, and Dracolith, Mining Guild again. That's the tier 60 ores. For Necrite, the best and easiest place to get to this one is the Ruins of Uzer. There's a little mining spot at the very north end tip of the desert. Just take the magic carpet to the Ruins of Uzer, run north, and there you go. And then you can take it back and run to and bank at the Shanty Pass when you fill up your ore box. Phasmatite, I think your best bet is going to be to use your Ectophiel, run through Port Phasmates, and then go to the mining site there. Or alternatively, if you're maxed, attune one of your portals to Araxor, and then you can just teleport to that spot outside, and it's a few steps away for Phasmatite. For Bane, Glacier Cave, I don't think there's any doubt about that one.
Nope.
And then for Light Animica, Tyrannan, just past the Lodestone. You can see it right from the Lodestone, so that's a quick bank trip away. Use the Lodestone for that. And then the only hard one to get to is Dark Animica, which is in the Empty Throne Room. But if you have a dig site pendant, the amount of running you should need to do isn't that far. So
yeah, and I want to add, Shane, that if you have the Dungeoneering skill cape, like the perk on that, the first five of these, I think, all the way to Bane, has a resource dungeon that you can get this stuff out of. That's what I've been using. I've been using my Dungeoneering cape to.
Okay, that's actually a really good point.
It works really well. I just go to max, drop my stuff off, and then back with the Dungeoneering cape.
Okay. Oh yeah, I have 99 Dungeoneering. I forgot about that.
Well, yeah, Shane, you got 99 everything. You got 99 problems. This update ain't one.
All right. You guys want to have a look at the geodes? And I think the geodes are interesting because they're potential to add in kind of like the Saren spirits. And they're kind of like the wow moment that they had talked about for the 5-year plan of skilling. And we have these now in general from the Grace of the Elves, but we also have them from just pure straight up mining right now. So
yeah, can we get a Grace of the Elves fix?
Oh,
or not really a fix, but I don't know if you've noticed this, Shane, but if you're in a place with high traffic, which is everywhere right now, mining, when that thing pops off, you don't see it. Sometimes it's buried under stacks.
Oh, that's like, weird. I thought there was a patch week that said that Saren spirits would always be visible on top of things.
Well, they're not. Like, okay. Not now.
All right.
Yep.
All right, fair enough. That might be something to look at then. But basically what ends up happening with this is that sedimentary geodes are the free-to-play version when you mine lower-level rocks, and then when you mine the higher-level members, rocks are a calcite up. You get the igneous geodes, and these are the ones that give us those wonderful spirit shards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that's a thing.
I don't either. I mean, if that's the wow moment, then that is the...
Well, the idea behind it is that in place of the igneous, you can get a metamorphic geode, and those are the one they... It's just random.
Okay.
It's just random. There's a one, and then once you get one of these metamorphic ones, that's the wow moment, apparently. 1 in 11 chance, so 6.25%. You can get items such as an uncut onyx, onyx dust, crystal triskelion piece, dragon equipment, 1 to 10 concentrated alloy bars.
Oh shit!
1 enchanted or enriched alloy bar. Yeah.
Oh, that's better.
1 elite clue scroll, effigy, anima crystal. Jesus Christ!
Anima crystal.
What's that doing on there? That's for reputation in the heart of Gilinar.
Okay.
Gift for the Reaper for Reaper points?
Huh.
Hmm.
Corrupted Ore. The first Age Coin, which Alex for 1 million GP. Hydrick's Bolt Tips. The Red-Headed Stepchild, as we talked about before. Huh. And then Stone Spirits for either Bane, Dark Animica, or Light Animica.
Oh, wow.
So by the sound of that that drop table, I was expecting Death Touch Dart just to follow along with the... follow along with the deep sea fishing. It's like, okay, I'm seeing a little bit of a little pattern here. I was waiting for it. Okay, yeah. Well.
Can you get a livid plant? Come on, guys. Yeah. Give me a livid plant.
So to add on to the geodes and the geode build that I'm considering, you can add in an Amulet of Glory that increases geode drop chances by 1%. Also, your Ring of Wealth and Luck of the Dwarves will increase your chance all the way up to 3% if you're using Luck of the Dwarves. So if you combine those two things with the aura, you can get some pretty interesting drop rates going on for the geodes and factor in the augment on your pickaxe too. So
get yourself a little geode build going too.
Exactly. And who'd have ever thought we're looking at mining aside from the core mechanics? Here's two different paths down the road we can take.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right. I completely agree. I don't think there's much else to say about mining.
We missed something.
Oh, what did we miss?
Stone spirits.
Okay, stone spirits. Yeah.
Yep.
So this is the replacement for ore drops in game, and you know you have stone spirits all the way up, and if you have these in your inventory, you'll just get an extra ore whenever you mine. Mm-hmm. Currently, there is no source in game aside from drops or these drop tables, I think, here to get the ones above rune.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where you would get them, and they said that's something they're going to look at going forward on this. So.
So the highest spear you can get is rune?
Well, from being dropped. But, you know, you can get actually, this is what I was going to say next, is that if you had Premier Club in 2018, one of the last rewards, the exclusive rewards, was a flyer for the mining and smithing beta. And if you take that flyer to one of the head guys at the Artisan's Workshop right at the doorway, he'll eat the flyer and give you 50 stone spirits for each type of ore, starting at bronze and going all the way up.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I actually kind of put a little bit of a list together before the show on things that stood out to me, and stone spirits were actually one of them because it had to do with PVM, and that was really something that I was kind of looking at on how they were going to like do that. But that, you know, the stone spirits, obviously all ore and bar drops have been converted to stone spirits. So yeah. In essence, you're still getting the drops, but it's basically just encouraging yeah. you to go get them yourself. So you're not just getting them, you know, hey, I need 3K Addy ore. I'm just going to go kill steel dragons or go kill whatever and get that. Like, you can go do that, but you still have to go and actually perform the skill, which I like. And I think it's a really good balance on how they kind of incorporated that.
Oh yeah. It was a good choice to have been made, I think. What?
Yeah. I hope it's the best. I mean, not only is that a great aspect of it, but it also made people that were making 50 mil an hour on Telos cry. And I love that. I really, really love that. It's great.
Well, yeah, we said for a long time, and I think even David has said this, that one of the most broken boss drops in game is, of course, Telos. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Not only did they make the skill awesome, but they fixed a problem that there was no fix for. I mean, can we get these guys to do every skill rework from here on out? Well, better yet, every project from here on out. They're booked.
Well, it is all
the important ones should go to this team.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy with literally two skills that they reworked, not new skills, two reworked yeah. skills they have has drastically balanced the PVM and skilling sides yeah. of the spectrum. It's incredible. So
yeah.
Anyway.
And you know, you would think that the dragon's bronze all the way up to rune would actually drop stone spirits in place of the bars, but they drop plated salvage instead.
Yeah.
Good.
So it's got to be there's a chance that you can get the stone spirits from them, but the stone spirits are going to be rare and they're going to be more of a special drop, which they should be because
sure.
you want to keep the ores from, rather than having them in PVM, you want to keep them limited to the mining skill. So
you want to keep the demand up.
Exactly.
Sure.
What do they increase? It's like a...
What, the stone spirit?
Yeah, they...
They just give you double ore whenever you have it in your inventory, and for every
double ore
okay. that you pull in, you lose that stone spirit.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, there's one for each one, and, you know, AVNCs are going to drop adamant ones, so...
Hopefully it'll be a little more rare.
Oh, they're going to yeah. be a common drop, but, I mean, okay. when you look at where AVNCs fall in the combat sphere, they're a mid-level creature, so that's what they should be dropping. They should be dropping this yeah. mid-level
ore now, which is very weird to say, but I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is yeah, that's good.
But Orichalcite, Dracolith, Necrite, Phasmatite, Bainite, Light Animica, and Dark Animica stone spirits are currently not dropped in game. They did say they would look at this and see if they need to be added in. But beyond that, there's no real move to add these in.
Stone spirits for them?
Well, they exist, but they're not dropped by anything.
But how do you get them? If they exist, how do you get them?
By having the Artisan's Workshop flyer.
That's the only way to get them?
Right now, yeah.
Oh, well, they'll probably have to figure out some way to put those in the game, right?
I mean, yeah, and they're going to need
otherwise,
to make sure
I mean,
that they don't drop them willy-nilly.
Yeah, I guess it's great for now. I mean, keep mining those high-tier rocks. They're going to be worth
yeah.
money
and,
for
you know,
the foreseeable future then. That's cool.
I didn't want to, you know, talk too much about the economy because that's all in flux,
yeah,
you know? People were making 40 mil on day one from mining Animica. That's, you know,
God.
Crashed. The Elder Rune set, I made an Elder Rune helmet earlier, and that's sold for about 900K. And that's because of all the demand going for it right now. So that's going to, of course, be in flux for the next couple of weeks. So I wouldn't pay any attention to the market right now. And early indications of what I predicted that rune bars would actually be useful in this update have proven true. So...
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Anything else on mining?
No, just their money and them their heels, boys.
Yeah. I mean, I made 732K yesterday from mining Bane for half an hour.
It's not bad at all.
And no. This is after the demand has, of course, shifted. I don't know what it'd be at now, but... It certainly is nice, I will just say, from the mining side of it, to have all the ores at tier 60 and above just coming from the sourcing game. And that's the way it should be. And we're going to need to make sure that whatever Slayer creatures and whatever bosses come out aren't dropping too many of these stone spirits and are never going to drop ores again. So,
I would hope that they will protect that. I mean, now that they've fixed it, don't touch it. don't touch it no more. It's real good right here. I mean, I couldn't see why would they ever bring them back in if they, well, never mind. I forgot about the Wildy. Never mind.
All right. You guys ready to talk about smithing?
Yeah.
I believe so.
You know, the smelting side of smithing, I don't think there's much to say about it. It's largely the same. As your level goes up, you're going to be able to get some bonus bars if you're smelting. So
it
that's good.
The XP isn't good, but it doesn't suck. Like, it's not... I don't think it's as bad as it used to be.
Yeah, maybe, you know, the only thing that took a bullet here was coal.
Coal's still useful.
Yeah, but with the auto heater, I mean, it's one piece of coal for it. I think they could take it up to 10 if they really wanted to coal.
Oh, change! Stop.
I'm trying to give some value to coal, the favorite rock of everyone in game.
I know.
Meanwhile, he has like 822k coal sitting in his bank. Like, let's pump up the demand. Come on.
I know. It goes against every conservative drill baby drill gene in your body. But
our beautiful clean coal.
Let
right?
it go.
That's
let
right.
The coal go.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Santa lost his coal bag with this update.
Everyone lost their coal bag with this update.
Yeah.
Because if you had a coal bag in game, it's has been refunded for the 4,000 Dungeoneering tokens. And if you want, you can go buy the auto heater for smithing, which uses coal, and will allow you to AFK smith. So, I don't know. There's not much to say about smelting. The new secondary ores, iron and bane, require two of each to use.
But it's a 1-to-1 ratio, and I love that. That was such a good decision. Like, because I hated the, now we got to do some math. Get out calculator. Oh, it's going to take me 8 coal for each rune. And not 1-to-1. It's beautiful.
So correct me if I'm wrong. In the beta, the heat was necessary to finish an item, and now it's a mechanic of you can go faster or you can AFK. Is that correct?
You always need heat to finish an item. You need the auto heater to smith AFK complete.
Gotcha. Because okay, I guess I read it wrong. I thought like you could smith it regular, but if you wanted to speed it up, you added heat.
You
to
always
it.
Need heat.
Okay. Gotcha.
You always need heat. And when you're smelting, as with mining, as your level goes up, there is a chance that the rate of smelting will increase. Basically the amount of time it will take to smelt will decrease from 4 ticks down to 3 ticks and then 3.5 ticks. So they can basically split this apart so that as you level up, you can make bars faster, which is noticeable. And there's also bonus bars too, as well. Which, if you look at the smithing skill guide, you'll see, you scroll through this, it's like runecrafting. You see at all the different levels, you unlock the 10% chance to get the double bars for each of them. So that's really nice.
Yeah, it's great. It's kind of like being at a portable forge, you know, the whole time.
Yeah. Elder Rune is at 92, Bane 81, Necronium 74, Orichalcum 62, Rune 57, Adamant 47. And that's when you get the double bar perk. So... that's a nice little bit from smelting, because those elder runes were expensive on day one. So you're making these and you get all these elder rune bars coming out and you see you got an extra 4 or 5. That's actually a really, really nice bonus. So
yeah, it helps a lot because, I mean, the elder rune, you need a rune bar, light animica and dark animica.
Correct.
So it's a little more involved than the others.
So there is a threshold with the heat then?
Yes.
Okay. That's what, because I said you can speed up the rate at which you smith items by making sure they're heated up. Hotter items smith faster. Okay. That makes sense. Gotcha.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, basically what needs to happen with this in order to have any ability to AFK smith, you need to use your auto heater. And when you do that, that'll basically let you keep smithing at the standard rate. And, you know, it's not very fast at all, but if you have high heat at 67 to 100%, you're going to get a 2x progress multiplier. At medium, between 34 and 66, it's 1.5. At low, it's 1x progress multiplier, and at 0% heat. Maybe you can, according to this document here. I never let it get all the way down. Let's see, what does the auto heater do? I wasn't aware that was actually a mechanic.
I think the auto heater keeps you at like 30% heat. It's kind of like the way that the bonuses work with the heat, it kind of slows it down from like going down. Seems like it's like the auto heater never goes under, or I don't think it goes under 30%.
Oh, if you go down to zero, it takes you up to that. Okay, so basically it, so zero heat smithing is 5 progress a strike. I wasn't aware you could actually zero heat smith. I guess they added that from when I last looked at that on the process progress stance. I didn't look at that in the beta.
The other content here's the auto heater is a new dungeoneering token reward, yep, which consumes coal to automatically reheat your smithing item, allowing for faster AFK rates.
Okay.
So that would imply that there is an AFK, which is
0.5x progress.
Right, which is what I had on my list, because I really like the fact that you're not required to. Obviously, it's suggested, but same with mining. Like, you can just sit there, click a rock, and, you know, do whatever and not have to click again for 4 minutes. But it's, you know, it's suggested that you do go quicker.
Okay.
So I like that they kind of added that.
Yeah, that's right. I'm remembering from the mechanical beta back last February that if you got to zero, you stopped smithing. And I didn't factor
that's what
that
I remember too. Yeah. So when I saw this, it kind of jumped out
at
me.
So there is complete AFK, nice, and you just smith really slowly at 5 progress per strike than if you're doing Eldarune or 0.5 times. Okay. So there's that and the auto heater. And, you know, this is also where your fire making level factors in. The calculation for that is 300 base and then plus 3x99 for your smithing level and 3x99 for your fire making level. If you're level 99, gives you a grand total of 894 potential heat. So it's, once again, it's not a huge boost, but it's a nice synergy with the other skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically what happens is you head on over to your forge, you choose the item you want to make, you heat it up, and you get the progress for Eldarune. That's 20, 15, 10, or 5 now for AFKing with Eldarune. And then you basically just sit there, watch it use the anvil, and then it'll tick down. And if you want, you can also use the superheat form, which makes it so that if you're heating at medium, it makes it as if you're heating at high or smithing at high. And if you're smithing at low, it makes it as though you're smithing at medium. So you can see where the AFK streak is going here. If you have the auto heater and superheat form, you can basically always smith at medium.
And your smithing skill cape, or have that on your max cape.
Oh, what does the smithing skill cape do?
I think it just slows down. It has to do with the heat. I think it slows down the way your heat is going down.
Okay. That's interesting. Smithing skill cape. Whenever an unfinished item is reheated, the next strike generates plus 5 base progress, and this works with the auto heater and superheat item. And so this allows for stupid fast smithing.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. It went so fast, I thought it was going down slower.
So the idea behind this is that you can cast superheat item following every strike And this builds an amazing level of progress. Basically, the way it's described here, superheat items cast following every strike to losslessly generate the bonus progress. Okay.
Yeah.
So, by casting superheat item, you're getting an additional 5 progress if you're using the smithing cape.
Mm-hmm.
And using that on that is what they're calling 2-tick smithing. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
See, I didn't look into this one. But that's interesting. Fascinating.
Perhaps a build?
There you go.
Yeah, another smithing build. I don't know what the other ones would be, but this is definitely one way of doing it. Oh, the other one would be a superheat form one.
Yeah.
With the auto
heater.
There
you go. Yeah.
As a mid-range way of – or mid-level intensity, but still a high level of progress. Jesus. I can't believe all the things that are coming out of this.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Upgrading armor, upgrade the Elder Rune all the way to +5. That's a fun thing to do. And if you do that, you also have the ability to then sell the Elder Rune +5. And for anybody who has lots of money, you can go out there, buy the Elder Rune +5, and take it to the Artisan's Workshop and make burial armor. And with that, you get an insane amount of XP, so much so that the helmet would give 32,000 XP just for the helmet and making it a burial piece.
So, for all you economical masochists out there.
Yeah, I mean, if you have tons of money, that's going to be the fastest way to train smithing up there. So
yeah,
just buy the +5s on the exchange and away you go.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's going to be expensive.
apparently, speaking 3 days after the release.
Yeah. But I foresee the prices actually going up in the future because we're in the initial phase of high supply right now. So that's pushed everything down. I see them going back up.
Yep.
So, 192,000 XP for a burial set of Elder Rune. And if you unlock all the different perks that come from the Artisan's Workshop, you can get that up to 211,000.
I would like to see what that equals out per hour, because I bet it's good.
Yeah,
it's probably at least what we had with the guy. What was it we did? Addy plate bodies. Yeah, I bet it's going to be better than that, or at least on par with it.
Well, someone else can test that because I don't have the money to test that. So.
Oh yeah, no. I think I'm the only person that didn't make money on this update just because.
Oh, I made a bit, but not as much as other people.
You know, I just wanted to experience that. I want to make my armor. And so that's what I've been doing.
So speaking of armor, masterwork, anyone going down the masterwork path of needing 600 of each bar?
I think it's going to be a long-term goal for me for sure.
Okay. How far are you? Are you in the process, Tanis?
I have all of the bars except for I'm working on the rest of my Elder Rune right now, and then all I have to do is start smithing the alloys after that, and then fold, and then when you're done
and
with fold that,
fold
again, yeah, and then fold some more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I've almost got the bars.
Yeah, and you know there was some talk about whether or not masterwork was going to be a good thing to do for skillers to make money, and you know right now I don't think it's a good time to talk about this because everything is in flux. Come back to us in 2-3 weeks and let's see how things are with that. So
it's in flux, but I mean if you have 11 hours and nothing to do tomorrow, by all means, because it's still expensive, dude. It's going like last I checked, I mean, it was still over 150, 200 mil.
Okay.
Like for a set, that's not chump change.
Yeah, and you got to get the bars too. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's about 11 hours is what most people are saying.
Okay. And in regards to trimmed masterwork, we talked about this in the past of the beta, but basically when it comes down to trimmed masterwork, this is what happens when you add pieces of the tier 80 Torva set to the armor, and with that makes it upgrades it to tier 92 power armor. So I don't know if there's much else to say about this, just that it's going to be the only source of exclusive melee tier 92 power armor. So
yeah, I guess people are going to have to quit doing Telos and go back to Nex.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing.
I saw Sorensen get Prinix like boots and Arams, or not Arams, jeez, what am I thinking? You know, the magic, the mask, whatever it is. Brutus. There we go. That was just tonight, so.
Yeah. And
yeah, people's doing it.
The interesting part about tier 92 masterwork, or trim masterwork, is that it requires the tier 90 masterwork to recharge it.
Yeah, that's kind of rough. I mean, it's cool, but it's kind of rough. Because, I mean, it does take like 11 hours per set. But it's kind of cool because now, I mean, now you have a choice. You can go skill and make your money, or you can do bossy. We've never had that choice before. It's beautiful.
It's refreshing as hell, that's for sure.
Yes.
I wonder, you know, thinking about this, the money prospects are interesting. The question is the demand going to be there for anyone to buy tier 90 power armor, melee power armor?
You know, I mean, we'll see, you know. I'm making mine, and I plan to use it. I mean,
yeah, of course, and because then you can customize it so that it'll not degrade on Slayer task and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, just a reminder regarding how you actually make the masterwork trims. You need 12 Elder Rune bars, 12 Praiselic essence, and 12 Malevolent essence, and these come from the various Praiselic and Malevolent pieces. The Praiselic, of course, comes from Torva, and each different piece will give a different amount of essence based on it. So that's there's your PVM aspect there, and then the other side is Malevolent, and you can just break it down. You can buy the components, and away you go. So,
yeah, I'm telling you, every way you look at this, it's good.
Yeah. So we talked about Burial, we talked about Masterwork, we talked about Trimmed Masterwork. I don't feel like there's much else to talk about in regards to Trimmed Masterwork, because we talked about the set effect and its damage over time before. Good for Slayer tasks, good for some tanking roles. We asked David about that.
You know, one of the little touches I liked is you have to add rivets and leather to it. Kind of, you know, like real armor.
Yep.
I think that's awesome, yeah, too. Like, there's a lot of little touches in this. Like, for as big as it is, like, there was a lot of little things, too, that really just made it that much better.
It's a good design.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else in smithing that we need to talk about? I feel like we talked about a lot of the under-the-hood mechanics for mining, but it feels like there's less of those for smithing, and smithing is more about the items.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Talked about heat, the auto heater, armor spikes. Anyone have an idea of using their armor spikes for anything?
I don't know. I've heard that it isn't efficient, but like you said, everything is in such flux now that I don't know if it will be viable later.
Because it's 90 to 99 damage if you're not using a shield, and goes up by two times if you're using a shield, 1.5 times if you're using a defender.
Yeah.
I think kind of another thing I had on my list here is just a little quality of life update, I guess, is obviously, you know, plate bodies and stuff are going to take a lot longer to smith now. So they added the iron ingots and the steel ingots for the summoning pouches for the Titans, respectively. So you can basically just make the ingot as quick as you would make a plate body before. So you're not, like, spending all this time for tertiary for a steel Titan pouch.
That's actually
you just
a good
make
point.
An ingot and use it that way. So
yeah, okay. I didn't even realize that. That's good.
There's also the thing that most of the items in your game or in your bank that you would have had before, like your rune plate bodies and whatnot, have been converted to tickets, and you can choose whether you want the actual equipment or if you want the salvage.
Take the salvage.
Disassemble.
Yeah, no, take the salvage.
Yeah.
You know, for my rune ones, I'm contemplating just taking all the rune salvage and throwing it in the auto alchemizer.
Well, yeah. That's exactly what you should do.
Because, I mean, do we need plated components anywhere?
Not for anything.
No,
it's really
useful,
I don't think.
No, you want to alchem, for sure.
Is there anything that uses those components?
Not that I know of.
Maybe some obscure perk somewhere. But
yeah.
I mean, maybe. But you know what? It's easy to come by if you do. So.
Yeah. You go fight rune dragons.
Yeah, there you go.
So, alrighty. Let's see. I just want to have a look at some of these, what these ones do. So, if you had rune plate bodies, you will get plated salvage, which gives you cover plated deflecting components, as well as the option of getting protective, heavy, and strong components. So a plated part is used for the perks absorbative, blunted, and committed.
And then it's used for mechanized chin choppa and kinetic cyclone. So it's not used for too much, honestly. Not something that you would need a stockpile of.
Especially not something you'd take
profane.
Over
alchemy. Yeah.
No. Furnace perk is profane, or rather cover parts, if you wanted that. Deflecting is imp soul, venom blood, shield bashing, inaccurate, mediocrity. So there's that one. So I think if you have any plated salvage, just alk it from the looks of it here. Polishing... Hoarding for protective components, if you get those. Heavy components are for butterfingers and breakdown.
Yeah, they're pretty much trash perks. I wouldn't.
Strong is. Yeah. Okay, so for plated salvage, alk that. I don't think we have warhammers lying around. Now, for swords, bladed components, I feel like those are useful for something. Yeah, bladed components for the honed perk.
You need that for the mining.
Yeah. metallic is for... Yeah, nothing good on that one. So, it sounds like if you're going for honed, you might want to disassemble bladed salvage, but plated or anything else can get sold away. So, but of course, use your own discretion for this. And the reason I say that is you get this clump of these tickets in your bank, and I haven't even gone through mine yet. There's just so many of them. So,
Yeah, I had a bunch of them and thought, oh, this is great. Like, I'm going to get a bunch of stuff, but I didn't realize each thing cost, you know, 30, 40, 50 tickets. I was like, oh.
Yeah, okay. A little bit misleading. I'm actually going to go into my bank right now, and we'll have a quick look at what I got. In the meantime, let's talk about spring cleaner.
The spring cleaner can
alk
auto
things now.
Alk things. Yes, which is, I mean, that's cool. I'm a big fan.
I didn't expect that to happen.
You know, I mean, it before it broke it down into ore anyway. So it was, I mean, it just basically just removes a step
from
what you used to have to do.
So, okay.
It's cool.
All right. Let's see. So let's have a look at the bank of Shane right now. Move that to the other monitor so we don't put the bank pin on screen.
So if you look at mine, it'd be the bank of shame.
All right. I got 1,520 rune item tokens.
Wow. That's actually a lot of stuff. Did you have that much rune in your bank?
Apparently. I'm going to go to the guy and see what we can get from this right now.
There you go. I think it's 50 for a plate body or for the large salvage or what the big one, the biggest one.
Yeah. So I don't have a spring cleaner, but you know, the biggest thing with the spring cleaner now is that it can alk. It doesn't give you bars or anything like it used to. I haven't heard any complaints about the new features of the spring cleaner. Have you guys?
No,
I think it's pretty on par. I like how the salvage, the alk values equal exactly what they would have been if they were the smithable items. So I like how they added a new piece of content and basically replaced its functionality flawlessly.
Yeah.
So
I think that's super cool. You can have it also disassemble salvage now too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're going for that same invention kick. So, all right. So let's talk to, who do we talk to here? That's a good question.
Oh, it's Elof.
Or Eagle?
I don't know. He's in the lower, like right when you walk in the Artisan's Guild.
That's Askel.
Welcome. What brings you to the home of the art?
Hey, we're trying to do this. We're trying to do this live here. They're not normally.
He's okay. Like right when you walk in, like on the lower part of the.
Elof. Okay. Metal token exchange. Elof. Okay. Rune tokens. 1,520. So 20 tokens if I wanted to get a rune pickaxe. So if I wanted bladed blunt. So if I wanted plated salvage, those are 40. So now with 1,520 of those, factoring that in, the exact number I can get 38 rune. It's basically 38 rune plate bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I think they alloc at like 35, something like that? 35, 40, it's in that range.
Yeah, 32K.
32, okay. Yeah.
So times 32,000. 1.2 mil.
Ah, shit, Shane. There you go.
I'm going to do that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, who knew that you could get this kind of value out of it? And on salvage, that's something I also think that is good that they did, because rune starts at 8, then it goes up to 16, 24, then 32 for the various different sizes of it. So,
mm-hmm.
Very nice. Very nice. 38. So yeah, there we are. 38 large plated rune salvage ready for alking.
Perfect.
Okay. Let's see. What else was on my list here to discuss? Trehearn Hour?
Yeah, it's really just as good as it was.
Yeah, I think they did really good on preserving this and the community around it. And it's just.
Yeah, the best part about it is that what you can do with this is you can effectively get a light and dark Animica right in the same spot, and that's really good for that 1 hour.
Yep.
So, and this is the point at which we're going to discuss something totally insane known as the Dwarven Ram Hammer. This is something you turned us on to, Tannis.
Yep.
So these Dwarven Ram Hammers, you probably just had sitting in your bank because you didn't need them. They have an option of giving now either double the damage or double the XP when you mine. And double the damage. the double the damage option. I'm just powering through these dark Animica rocks like there's no tomorrow. And it feels like it's I feel like it's more than double the damage.
You know,
I guess it depends on what build you got, you know.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. What my friend told me about them, and
I'm wondering if these are going to be patched.
I don't know. Probably, but I mean, should they be really though? Because they're hard to get. Like it's a
they're
treasure
not in
hunter
circulation
item.
Anymore.
They're not. Yeah, they're not even in circulation. I don't know. Probably. They'll probably nerf it a little bit, but I hope not.
In the span of, I'm just counting here. In the span of 10 seconds, I was able to get one dark Animica rock with this ram hammer. Mm-hmm. So it's basically 6 Animica per minute. That doesn't feel right. Like, no. It's nice, but it doesn't feel right.
Does it degrade?
Yeah, there's a set number of charges.
It's got charges.
There's charges with it. See, if I pull out the ram hammer here. I currently have 774 charges left remaining on it. And
they go pretty quick.
This will now give you double XP, but no damage. So now if I change it back to damage mode... This will now give you double damage, but no XP.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
So it feels
like... I mean,
like,
there's a price to pay
right,
for it, though. You don't...
Sure.
You know.
And what's the way of obtaining this? Like, the main way?
Treasure Hunter.
Treasure Hunter.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
And I mean, I just had a stack of 10 of them sitting in the bank, so I powered them
up,
and there we are.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Can you get these from the tongue, from the chest thing?
Mimic,
yes.
I don't know.
Can't remember either.
But what it looks like is happening is it looks like this ram hammer is actually two ticking or four ticking the rocks rather. So that's why it's
I don't know
so
what
fast.
It's doing to the rock, but it's whooping its ass and I love it. I like it a lot.
The funniest thing about this for me is I was still in my Santa suit, so you see the Santa guy with a jackhammer just going at a rock.
Whooping some rocks.
Yes.
All right.
Post-holiday rage.
I don't know, but definitely something. If you have them in the bank, use them now.
Yeah, use them before you lose them.
I think it might be nerfed. Everyone is also given 1 month complimentary rune metrics with this update.
Did you notice? Shane, did you notice what's right? But why is that cool? It seems to me like there were 3 guys back in October that talked about.
Oh, that,
that
was us.
Oh, it was.
Right, if you can show people how good Rune Metrics is. We had that exact conversation. If you can show people how good Rune Metrics is before a double XP weekend, they'll subscribe to it.
Hey,
and where are they going to end? They're going to end February 14th, week and a half before the next double XP weekend.
Yep.
I forgot we had that discussion.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of when I saw that. I'm like, there you go, guys. All right. Smart move.
Neat. And, you know, I can see why you want to do this because, granted, the market is out of whack. So the GP tracking for mining is going to be of no use this week. But
the XP is important.
Right.
Because you can't get people aren't going to be like,
if you're going to be two ticking or if you're going to be four ticking the rocks, you can see, do I want to four tick these rocks or do I want to do something less intensive, maybe the Saren Stones, and get more XP? So I think that's why they did this, is to basically give everybody a bit of a forefront to say, okay, how do we want to look at this? How is the XP going to look going into this update? I think that was the that was probably the rationale behind that. So,
well, yeah, and I mean, but I mean, it's good for people too that like, maybe they weren't quite spoiled with the Therenstones yet. Like, I remember mining before Therenstones, and you know, it was like what you could get 80k an hour on concentrated, like. Golden coal, something like that. I was like the best you could do, and I was doing like a level 60 rock, pulling in like 80k.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it was good for that to just to show people, like, no, the XP is right on. It's actually better, and I mean, you almost have to do that. You almost have to do that with the community sometimes.
Yeah, you know that'd be a fun exercise, and you know, if I wasn't planning on other things this weekend, what I'd do is I'd go through the different rocks and say, you know, based on, you know, 10 minutes at rune for ticking, this is what you get. 10 minutes at rune medium stamina-ing, this is what you get XP wise, and do that for all the rocks going up. I think that'd be a fun exercise.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that'd be
cool. All right. So are we ready to wrap this up and bring it home?
Nope. I think so.
Okay.
Has to be done sooner or later. We're going to be here for another 3 hours.
Well, we forgot something, though.
Oh, what's that?
Rockertunities.
Oh, Rockertunities, right. Yeah, I should have mentioned those in mining. I know why we didn't mention them, because we talked about them in pre-show, so that was done in my mind, but we should have mentioned them.
I got you, Shane. That's why I'm here.
They just give you the nice little spike in progress. I find them really hard to see at Bane, for example. So
they're hard to see everywhere, and the sound cue for them is not good either. It's really, really faint. Cue. There is a sound cue, but it sounds like, you ever seen one of those like wannabe hot chicks on Twitch that just whisper in their microphone? They're like, psh, wee, 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 wee. I forget what they call it. It's this whole
ASMR.
There you go. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, God.
I would much rather it be like a hockey buzzer, like, bing, so I could like actually look around and find the damn thing. Yes.
Yeah. I'll agree with you on that, even from my perspective, that, you know, some of the ones up on the ice are really hard to see in regards to that. I think the best course of action would probably be to change the particle density, just make them a little bit more... make the particles a little bit more dense, and maybe add like a little glowing star around the bottom of the rock. Like nothing huge, but just like a little star that appears below the rock, like on the ground flat and appears.
Well, it would definitely be helpful. I mean, it'd be a lot more helpful.
Yeah. Okay. So this is an update, as we said in the beginning, that has been in the works. Probably at least being talked about since 2013, probably before, I think, at RuneFest, and always been in people's minds. And this is an update, I feel, that when you compare it with this goes down in terms of RuneScape history of updates. And I'm going to say this, it goes down in history as updates such as RuneScape 2, Construction, RuneScape HD, EOC, Prif, and NXT being updates that will change the game forever. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the best way to describe this update. You know, Jagex is on record saying they were expecting that there might be a bug or two that would require rollbacks. There were none with this. So aside
it's
been one of the most smooth releases of this magnitude of content we've had in a while, if not ever, which is awesome.
It's one of the smoothest launches, just period.
Period. Yeah.
I mean, like and think about like everything that's touched. Like they had to get in people's banks, and they were messing with the economy, and just.
There's so much that could have been absolutely devastating.
Yes. Yes. Now, it shows what they can do.
Bingo.
When they want to.
Bingo. And this is what I said this week, and this is the realization I had, And, you know, you could, and I think there's the best way, and this is why I mentioned this at the start, is there's no other way of saying this rather than experiencing it, but this is RuneScape 3. And you can see that when you log in, you have the new theme song for it. And when you look at this, you look at the player-owned farm, and I'm going back a few months, you look at the player-owned farm, the needle skips, and this is the caliber of update that defines RuneScape 3. And, you know, if we can get one of these a month, we're not going to get – I mean, if we can get an update that is
– every quarter.
On this scale, like the needle skips, the player-owned farm, if we can get one of those every other month, we'll be in a good position.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we have been on that path because the needle skips is November. December is an off month because of Christmas. January is at mining and smithing. February – is Elite Dungeon 3. I think we have the new RuneScape release cycle here, but we'll talk a bit about that after in the question segment. Now, you know, I think the thing that we all need to take home from this is that this is an update that had an immense amount of game design go into it. From the very early prototypes to the stuff that we saw last February in the beta, to the near final versions we saw at RuneFest and in the player beta at the tail end of last year. This is what happens when you have a piece of content. They take their time and they iterate, as in move the design forward and go through different designs on any piece of content. This is what happens when you release a piece of content like that. And this has to be the model for RS3 going forward. And I think that is what brought this update such success.
Well, you know, Shane, another thing that I think really went into this, and we don't always give community input a lot of credit, but I actually think it was the right amount at the right times in this case, and it really helped. Because if you think about it, like, remember the original poll was, do you want just higher level filled in content, or do you want a complete rework? I really think they wanted to do the higher level filler work.
Because it would have just got it out the door sooner.
Right. But the community said, no, wait a minute. We want a full rework. And then even after the first design documents had came out, once again, we're like, let's go back and try it again, guys. And they did.
You know what the funny part about that is? When you compare this design to that first set of design documents, I don't see much that's different aside from the presentation of it.
Yeah,
there's some differences, but yeah, it's minimal, I guess. But I think we were actually helpful in this case. Like, I think the players were helpful, and I don't think they let us drive it, because we shouldn't be driving, but we definitely had input on, you know, where we were going to stop, kind of thing. You know, like, and I think that was just right. It was just the right balance.
Okay. Dave, I know you had a quote at the beginning in pre-show.
Oh, yeah. So we were talking about the scale of this update and how amazing it was. You know, after the release, day after the release, you know, heard a lot of good feedback, amazing feedback, actually. It wasn't the dumpster fire that I think a lot of people anticipated. But I was making a joke to my friends, you know it's a good update when the initial thoughts of what was released seems like a piece of old school content. Because with the amount of stuff that old school has gotten that we haven't, you know, something near and dear to Shane's heart, the Farming Guild, just to name one. It just seems like we're on the right path now, because we're getting such a substantial piece of game-changing, for the better, content. You know, I think the community's kind of used to old school kind of getting favored with those quality of life and, you know, complete reworks and redesigns. We finally got that, so I think we're on a good path. So if we can keep it up, we'll definitely be in a good place.
Indeed. Tanis, anything else?
You know, I just want to say... it's just an incredible job done by Jagex. They did a really good job. This by far is the update of the whole time I played. I mean, I've been, you know, I think I got my 10-year cape last year, so I mean, I've been around for a minute. Now, I wasn't here for the release of Construction like you were, Shane, or you know, anything prior to that, but I was here for RS3 and NXT and Priff, and I think Priff had a little bit more excitement, a little more hype going into it. I think this one actually had a little bit of fear going into it. I think people were a little bit more apprehensive, like, you could break something, like, you could break my stuff, and then was just elated when they found out, not only did you not break my stuff, but you balanced a game that there was no way we ever thought was actually going to get balanced like that. So, it's a good job. And like, I'm only half joking when I say we need these guys to be in charge of every skill rework. And, can we get them on a Construction rework next? Cause yes.
I think you're going to have a hard time with that.
I know, but look how good that,
yeah.
Just think how good it could be.
Because these are effectively two new skills being released.
Yes.
And that's the way you look at this. And I was just thinking, you know, going back in all the years, I've, you know, covered all the skill releases here on the podcast and whatnot. And the headache that came around getting the website ready and everything for them. Design wise, the most interesting ones that I sunk the most time into on release day were farming and Construction. But I can say in this week, I have sunk more time into these two skills than I probably have sunk into all the other skill launches that have happened on those weeks. So that's a good thing.
I can see that.
And maybe that's because I already have 99 in them.
Yeah.
Now there's an idea. Release a new skill, but start everyone at level 50.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I think there's more to say that, you know, on release of Farming and Construction, you were obviously at level 1, so you had kind of the motivation to level up. But, I mean, you already had the max level, and you've spent just as much, if not more, time on it with max level. So, I mean, that just tells you how much content and how much they actually reworked it. Because everybody feels like they're at level 1 again, even if they're not, because they still want to explore all the content. So.
If an elite skill still starts at level 1, then I guess a skill that started at level 50 would be
elite skills should not be a thing. Oh. That's a topic for another day. All right, we're going to go over some patch notes quickly because, you know, aside from M&S, there were patch notes this week. So,
I'll be damned.
You can now use an Uncharted Isles resources should you decide to visit an Uncharted Isle after visiting a friend's island. That's a mouthful, but basically, if you visit a friend's island, you wouldn't be able to go back to yours and use the resources.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem.
A limit on how many urns could be teleported away at once was causing players that attempted to teleport more than this amount to disconnect. This has now been resolved.
Huh. Okay.
Imagine the chaos there.
You'd have to try to do that. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you always have these odd hang-offs like that. The legacy map icons toggle will no longer be reverted on logout. Thank you. I did my weekly bite the week before Christmas. I turned those legacy map icons on for the entirety of the Christmas break. I could not turn them off.
Huh.
Every time I'd log in, that setting would be back.
Hmm.
Dying in a PvP scenario with a small rune pouch should no longer cause the dead player to disconnect.
Okay. Well, that's just insult on injury. Yeah. But,
all right. Next up is the discussion around the comp cape and the rework of the comp cape. And the team doing the rework of the comp cape is Mod Jack, who just got off the mining and smithing rework.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, with that update, with mining and smithing, and especially with this comp cape rework, they're basically running through a forest fire made of clothes of toilet paper and trying not to catch fire.
Oh, he's basically stepping out of the furnace and stepping into hell with this.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was trying to keep a snowman alive in hell. So, I mean, Godspeed, and you've proven your might and your strength with mining and smithing. So please don't... please don't let us down with this one, especially me being a almost trim comp player.
I had no idea.
This could be a kick in the balls, or it could be a, okay, I mean, I'll just keep going, but I have a feeling, I don't think it's going to help me, or, you know, people that are going for that thing, I think it's either going to go really bad, or it's going to go all right. And I think at this point, all right is kind of what we're hoping for. Now, if they go good, blow me out of the water, but I have my expectations at an average right now, especially with a, update that is planned around something like this. Same as I did with mining and smithing. I was like, we'll see what happens, and only amazing things came out of it, so hopefully that's true. So anyway.
With this, we're going to have a dev blog posted soon. So we're not going to go too much into the poll questions and what those are going to be. We'll save those when they actually come out. But we'll just talk a bit about where this discussion is going on and how you can get involved and what they want to do with this. So this discussion is happening in the RuneScape Discord, and I have added a link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com to that Discord channel where you can join and you can see this discussion happening. Now, here's what they want to talk about with this. They say, we add more capes, which are more accessible than comp, but still harder than the max cape to get, which have best-in-slot stats and benefits, for example, a PVM cape. Because comp is no longer going to be held back by people who want the best in slot stats and benefits, comp and trim are then free to have more requirements added, and perhaps immediately or over time have those requirements added. More capes would include other categories of capes, for example, the quest cape, a PVM cape, a skilling slash grinding cape, a minigame cape, and an achievement cape, but also easier categories of the same cape. Example, 500 rune score cape, 1000 rune score cape, 10,000 rune score cape, etc., which can have lower stats. Possibly add extra tiers of cape, for example, comp, trim, and true trim, where true has insane requirements which are not achievable by most players, and possibly move some utility, such as the Avas device, into its own reward. For example, the Avas device would just work if you have it unlocked rather than having it tied to all these specific capes. Also, Mod Jack's vision for what the completionist cape means is that the comp cape should be renamed the expertise cape. To have the expertise cape means that you are now an expert RuneScape player. You've played through every update enough to understand it and to tell other players how to do it. You haven't necessarily completed every piece of content, but you have done it. This would include killing every boss. Non-bossers then should pursue other capes, which we would add. The expertise cape means you are an expert of all RuneScape-related things. The expertise cape is something that should be possible to maintain if you play RuneScape regularly without massive time investment. Someone who works 50 hours a week should be able to maintain comp, although they might not be able to earn it from scratch in the first place. The trim comp cape would be renamed the completionist cape, and to have the new completionist cape means that you would have literally done everything in the game, subject to a handful of insane exceptions, I expect, like you don't need an HSR. Trim is a serious time investment, and Mod Jack also acknowledges that renaming the capes probably isn't a good idea in practice. Now, there's some FAQs about this. Will you lose your existing cape in the rework? Probably not. If you're worried about losing best-in-slot stats and benefits, probably not. He then says, I can see us adding a bunch of missing requirements for existing content that got skipped to comp or trim without the approval of the comp community. Given that, according to the proposal, you should be able to get the best-in-slot stats from other capes, I think the community of people who are comp for completionism rather than comp for stats would probably want more requirements added. If we do add missing requirements, it wouldn't necessarily be all at once. They could be added gradually over time. Now, will the harder capes have better stats than easier capes? The TLDR on this is probably not in his opinion. So that means that the harder capes are not going to have better stats. They're just going to be more prestigious to see around. The question, shouldn't compers get rewarded with better stats, is the wrong question. Instead, ask, why should PVMers have to comp to get the best stats?
I think that's valid.
Why should skillers have to do PVM to get comp?
That's a good question. Right? Either way. I'll just finish reading these points. Ultimately, comp being best in slot is very harmful to the game, no matter how fair it might seem in abstract. Something as demanding as comp, and is literally one of the most demanding things in computer games, shouldn't be required by players who don't actually want to do it. And the reason he's saying that is because there are groups out there who will not take you on a bossing run if you don't have a comp cape, because it doesn't provide stats. Now, his proposal for handling the comp and comp cape benefits and utility is that things like Ava's device, the spirit cape effect, the fire cape effect, but not stats like strength, prayer, and whatnot, would be moved. And these benefits would be removed from comp and other capes that they might have. And instead, new ways would be added to unlocking the ability passively, or unlocking a way to apply it to any cape. Now, an example of this, and he says it's a lazy example, is that a dungeoneering reward or a divination reward, which used the spirit cape permanently, when used on the spirit cape permanently activates the effect, would require a small cost. This means we don't have to worry about which capes do or don't have effects. The proposals for handling the raw stats would be that rather than the cape itself having stats, every tier of cape unlock has a small stat bonus, i.e. +2 to all styles and prayer. Unlocking the cape permanently applies this bonus as long as you're wearing literally any cape in your cape slot. This allows for statted capes to start existing as rewards again, as the effects of comp would stack with them, and allows for the choice about which cape to wear. This essentially undoes the whole point of the original comp design, only comp needed, so I don't know whether or not it would be popular. Granted, there was a lot of text there. But what it sounds like is happening is that they want all the milestone capes, so 99s, 120s, Master Quest, Quest Cape, Max, Comp, Trimmed Comp as it is now, to just be a cosmetic cape. And then based on what you've completed in-game through the various levels of activity determines the stats that you get when you put one of those capes on. And then you can add other little things to it along the way. And then that allows them to, for example, release another kind of thing that would be like the fire cape, which would actually go in the cape slot and provide stats that add on to it.
That's cool.
It's interesting. I think they're really, 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 really overthinking it. In my opinion, I would probably say 90% of people with a comp cape have a comp cape because it's a comp cape. I mean, sure, it is best in slot, but I honestly couldn't care less if they had a level 10 cape that had twice as good of stats as comp cape. I don't care about stats. If you go for a comp cape or even a trim comp cape, the last thing you really care about is stats. You're not getting it so you can have an extra 4 prayer bonus at Telos. You're getting it because you want to be in the top 3% of the player base. It's more of a status cosmetic thing. I mean, I don't care if you strip all stats from completionist cape. I'll just keepsake it. I like the idea of then just taking the spirit cape or something from dungeoneering and then being able to add things to it like fire cape or whatever, like you would do a tool belt.
That's the best part of this rework or potential.
Yeah, have a utility cape, and then depending on your levels or whatever, once you're max combat, then you would have the best in slot cape because you're going to need it for combat. So combat should reflect that. No, you shouldn't have to do 42 hours of Livid Farm to get an extra 4 per bonus. That's stupid. It always has been. If you want it for combat, you should just be able to upgrade a combat cape. I've always found it weird, but I don't think they need to go around completely reworking the requirements for completionist and trim completionist, not just because I've put so much time into it. I just think they're kind of missing the point of what needs to be done here. So,
yeah, and when I first read into this, I had no idea why rework was even needed. But after consulting with you guys here and in chat and whatnot, it makes sense. And I'm of the opinion that what they should do is they should make all these various milestones just cosmetic things that you can activate. And then based on what you have activated, make it part of the achievement system even maybe. Now, there's a thought. Give you a set bonus to your skill set and just have it display as your prestige bonus, as your achievement bonus, something, some kind of bonus.
Yeah.
just how prestigious your player is, let's just say. Yeah, sure. Prestige bonus is good. Because if you have 199, that's a level of prestige. But if you have multiple 99s, you get the trimmed completion or trimmed skill cape. That's more prestige. Max is another level. Quest point is another level, and so on and so forth.
Yep.
I think that'd be a good way to do it. There's also some talk on the poll text here, but we're not going to go into that today. I want to wait until that's actually final to go through that. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think they're on the – I mean, I actually think they're on the right track. Coming into this, I didn't think it was
I didn't think it was a big deal either. So.
No, I thought at most they'll make it easier at – or, I mean, at best, but they won't make it any worse. But I actually think – I actually like what they're going. I like the name change, actually. I think it makes more sense. And I feel like it gives you more choice in the kind of play style and what you want to
precisely
show off.
And that's something that, you know, we saw with the mining and smithing rework is that there's a ton of choice, and that's good.
Yeah, because if – I mean – you know, if I could do something comp-like, but not have to do the bosses because I don't want to do the bosses.
Yeah,
I'd be happy.
I agree.
It'd be great.
Yeah, and then I think there's also less burnout too, because there's going to be various milestones along the way.
When you're not forced to do something that you hate.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just for the stats, because I mean, it might not be a big deal for a regular kind of player, but. It means something to these elite PVMers. Like, they have to have it. They do not have a choice. It's just that mentality.
Yeah.
So, you know, I actually like where they're going so far.
And
but
you know,
I don't have a comp cape, so I mean, let me throw that out there. I'm probably biased.
On the first message that I read, 39 thumbs up, 33 on the next one, 11. On the FAQ, 7 on the second FAQ. Then on the last one for handling the raw stats, 13 thumbs up, but 7 thumbs down. So the part on the stats one is going to need to be talked about. But this was in Discord, and you can see why you can kind of gauge that reaction there with that. So, all right. Moving on, there is a Solomon's General Store sale happening as we are recording this. Unfortunately, we didn't get to mention it in time for everybody earlier in the week. But basically, you have things like the Assassin Pack, Keepsake Keys, Clan Citadel Boosters, the Lava Outfit, the Nex Outfit, and whatnot, all 50% off.
Okay.
So that goes until the 11th.
All right.
Now, let's talk a bit about what we have for the rest of the month here in January in their introduction to 2019 post. So, of course, we had the mining and smithing rework, but also this month we have the Valkyrie's Return, which they're saying is an improved version of the annual Hattie Skull and Fenrir event. And this is offering hope to those who worried that the end of things was upon them. Spring brings new rewards, including some fantastic Hugin and Munin blades and improvements to the event, including the ability to gain all of the wolf items yourselves rather than needing someone else to complete the set.
Yay. Yay. I like that. I bet you don't, do you, Shane?
Nah, I mean, I have a feeling this will be a good update. But in any case... also in January, we have the Farmhands and Animal Barn that was from the last Game Jam.
Oh, all right.
So that should be interesting with the player-owned farm. February, Double XP Weekend, 22nd through the 25th. We've talked about that. That's my birthday weekend, so I don't know how much I'll be able to actually take part in that.
Oh.
Elite Dungeon 3, the Shadow Reef. And the sequel to Cook's Assistant, The Chef's Assistant.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's going
to
be
fun. I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah. And then beyond February, Comp Cape Rework, Fire Making week with the incense burners from Game Jam and the Fire Spirits rework that we spoke so highly of. Those are being developed and they'll be coming into game.
Yay.
Removal of Bounty Hunter and redistribution of its rewards. Next AOD improvements. And then Easter. They haven't started development quite yet, but they want to ensure that it's something that remains in game once Easter has been gone, similar to Violet is Blue.
I can tell you one thing, it won't have anything to do with Easter.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
That's the trend that we've been on here lately.
Now, there was also that dev blog about mobile and whatnot. We talked about that on the last show of 2018. They mentioned that here. But they put these last two paragraphs in this article here, and I completely disagree with putting these two paragraphs in the article and in the video. I'm just going to read them right now. Finally, a note to two teams who haven't been represented in any of the above updates. Our Black Ops team are working on something special to be released in the summer, while our Fate team have been working on something for early 2020. More info will come, particularly in the spring at RuneFest, and we're salivating at the prospect of them. In the meantime, keep following our weekly live streams on Tuesday at 5 p.m. game time, as we're going to be ensuring that they are regular and chocked full of your questions and answers. So they didn't need to put that paragraph in about these two upcoming updates. They're too far away.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it's not doing anyone any good. Nope. Just like it was in – I'm going to say this, and I don't normally use this word on the podcast, but it was a stupid idea to publish that mobile dev blog the week before Christmas. Just like this is a stupid idea to mention these two updates that are on the way that we don't even know what they're related to.
Yep.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
Because – and the reason for it, if you're not comfortable with me throwing that term around, is with the case of these two teams, we don't know. We have to assume that they're being worked on this far out, that they're relatively medium or large size updates. But at the same time, if we wait till this summer or we wait till RuneFest to hear what they are and everyone's disappointed and we've been waiting 6 months to hear on that, that's a problem. And
that's a major problem.
And secondly, when it comes to mobile, talking about enhancing the in-game experience as they did at the end of December, you don't put that out before Christmas when everyone's going to be playing the game, looking at the news posts and seeing this thing we wanted to get in the new year isn't actually coming. And there's no community response to go back on it and drive the discussion forward from Jagex's point of view. So these last two paragraphs here about mobile and these two upcoming updates really could have gone without in this post and the video. So,
yep, I totally agree. It's creating hype for, I mean, no reason right now. And I'm, you know, I don't know. We've talked about this many times, but creating hype just for the fact of creating hype for RuneFest, not really.
It's a lot more dangerous than it is beneficial, that's for sure.
Exactly. And even in that regard, like, you know, we've heard things in the past at RuneFest that never come to be. And now they've went so far in the other direction that you don't even hear anything that's like really exciting. So definitely could have just cut those off and been done. Where's the editor? Come on.
All right. Before we move on to questions, just a word about our Patreon page, which you can find at patreon.com/RSBNB. And we're still doing this in 2019. So if you want to subscribe and help us along, you can do that. For $1 a month, you'll receive a special mention in our show notes and the ability to join in on our roundtables when we do them. And you help, of course, fund the cost for hosting and the production of RSBNB update. And for $3 a month, you'll receive a special VIP rank on Discord, a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and high-quality stereo AAC versions of the podcast. And for $5 a month, starting up again, you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast every week and get exclusive access that we use to build the clip show at the end of the year. And being as this is January, 12 months is a long time to wait. So if you want to get early access to those clips, that's the tier that you want to look at. And as we're doing right now, we're doing our monthly bonus show called The Monthly Bit, where we focus on one big hot button issue. These are released to Patreon supporters exclusively, except last month where we gave out one, the Trekkie special, as a very special gift to the entirety of the community to give everyone a taste of what we do with it. And we're also doing Inside RSBNB Update, which includes interviews with our hosts and production team, and you can learn how the podcast comes together with that. And if we do end up reaching our $50 tier, we'll be doing the round table on the first Saturday every month, which is just a wide-ranging RuneScape discussion on everything and anything. And if we reach $99 a month, that'll be movie night in RSBNB's Discord. And yeah, there could be some Star Trek along the way. So with that being said, I would like to take us off and start us for the first month of the year and issue a very special thank you to our Patreon supporters for January: Kyle, Brock H, Seth W, and Zez. Thank you guys very much for your support. Couldn't do this without you.
Thanks very much.
All right. Question time. So this one's from Diana, who was on the show with us for the Needle Skips. She's wondering, what do you think is the best improvement and the worst change with the mining and smithing rework? And what do you think of it overall? But we gave that opinion already. Best improvement for me, you know, everyone talks about smithing and whatnot, but I just love the mining mechanic changes and the fact we have put together 2 to 3 builds for mining in RuneScape.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Worst change. Ooh. What can we say is the worst change about the mining and smithing rework? You know, I'm actually gonna do something here that might not be allowed, but I'm gonna say actually the worst change is that we can't get one of these for runecrafting magic. Or fletching ranged.
Yes.
It's a very good point. Crafting. I didn't think of that.
Yep.
Just, you know, all the other legacy skills that could use a rework like this or be made more relevant. So
maybe we will someday.
Who knows? But what's your guys' most favorite and worst change for the M&S rework?
My favorite change is finally the workers can work and make a living. I'm a real big fan of that. Left is best. Woo! Go workers. Yeah. At worst, I...
Which workers?
Us, the skillers, the people that provide the bars and all this.
Okay.
We've been overlooked for years, Shane. Like, used to, I mean, there was only one way to make money, and now you actually have some. And that's even a bigger picture. Like, I know we're in a new year, but if you think about it, like, even the beginning of last year, we had with deep sea fishing, you could make money from fishing, right? A little bit, anyway. The player on farm, you could make some money, and then now you once again make a little bit of money. So I'm really happy about that. That's the best thing to me. The worst thing,
I know it's hard to find a bad thing, isn't it?
Yeah. The worst thing is they're probably gonna nerf the Ram Hammer. That's kind of like a lame out, but it's really all I've got. Like, I hate to fanboy this stuff, but it's that good. I can't think of a bad thing, like a worse thing.
All right. How about you, Dave? Anything bad you can think of?
Well, first with the good, I'll be honest. I'm a simple man. I just like the fact that they just filled out the ore tables and the smithing tables with new ore. They squished it down to where rune should be up at 50, and they added, you know, at least 8-10 new ores. I just like the new refreshing content, like, to me, that's the best part. Everything else is icing on the cake, which has gone above and beyond. As for worst part, it's very hard to come up with something, and I've been racking my brain while you guys were answering, but I would have to say in terms of mining, with all the penetration and hardness and stuff, I think that's a little overdone. as far as like with numbers and math, I think it's good the way it is, but I think it could have been, you know, if I have to pick a quote worst thing, I would say that, as to where it would just be like, hey, you got a level 60 pickaxe. As long as you're 60 and above, you're going to get optimal rates. But again, you wouldn't have that build aspect to it if you didn't get a little bit more technical with what they have now. So I'm not saying it's bad, but if I had to pick something that is a little, I guess, daunting or convoluted, I guess is a wrong word, but I think you kind of know where I'm going with
it. And, you know, on the mining mechanics, there's actually an option to activate the stamina bar so you can see what your current stamina is. I mean, you don't need this. And I did a quick informal poll on Twitter and Discords and whatnot, and 75% of the people said that they want it on. But in reality, it doesn't make sense because you're either mining at 100% four ticking, or you're somewhere between 1 and 99, or you're at 0. And you can easily tell by the color of the spark. So I don't see why you need a stamina bar when there's only three potential choices. So that's just an extra addendum on the mining part, but sure. All right. And now the big one. The new update reveal strategy seems to be talking about the future content much later in the development cycle and much closer to the release date. Yes, that's what we saw at RuneFest. The 2019 year ahead preview, for instance, only features updates for the next few months with some hints that large updates are planned in the summer. What do you think of this? A good idea given past slip-ups or a lack of transparency? Well, folks, I got to say it. You know, I've been a long time saying that we've had far too much information in the RuneScape community. You know, granted, yeah, the way media is and whatnot these days, you gotta be able to hype that up. But when it comes down to it, we only really need to know what's happening this month. Maybe the month after that, but just this month. And that's my personal view on this. And
yeah, I agree. I think the ideal preview would be quarterly, like what they're doing now.
Yeah.
Transparency, I really don't care about, because you could come to me in April saying everything you're going to release through July and say, oh, okay, in 3 weeks, we're doing a construction rework. Here it is. Like, that's awesome. Because if you talk about it for 3 years and you, you know, you don't deliver, then you are doing bad things and you're only hurting yourself. And the way I see it is, you don't really need to build that much hype with updates, because you're not going to get new players on big updates like that. You're going to get new players bringing it to mobile. You're going to make game players on adding free-to-play content. You're not going to get players by reworking a skill that came out 13 years ago. That's just not how it's going to do. So hype, I mean, hype is nice, but you don't need it more than 3 months in advance.
Yeah. And I'm going to point to the Star Trek Online content roadmap that they released at the end of October. And all we get for what we know what's coming in that game is that in November we had a featured event called the Battle of the Binary Stars, which you'll know if you've watched Star Trek Discovery. December was the Christmas event. January is what they're calling Age of Discovery Part 2. February is the Pavo Dissension. March, the Personal Endeavor Systems. April is another limited time engagement event. And in May is another part of the Age of Discovery expansion. And that's all we have for Star Trek Online going forward for the next 6 months, is an infographic specifically stating what's coming out. And, you know, with RuneScape updates, yeah, month behind the scenes are good and whatnot. But I think if they were to go for something like this, where we saw what was coming in the next quarter and just represent it as a nice infographic, I think that would be the best way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they shouldn't talk about anything that's no less than 60 to 70% developed. Don't tell us you have an idea, because the chances are you're going to scrap it and piss us off.
Unless it is a rework like comp or smithing, where some
which you need
could
discussion and stuff like that
at the concept stage.
Right. Don't say we got some huge news to come in summer. Okay, well, people are going to think, okay, that could be a new skill. And if once you say, oh yeah, we're reworking the font and the text log, like nobody's like, what? You're just going to create enemies way faster than you're going to make friends.
So. Yeah. And, you know, also talking on the release schedule, I mentioned that the blog they did in December about mobile was really off the mark. And, you know, that was, really bad from a marketing perspective, especially going into the Christmas season when people have lots of free time on their hands. They're going on winter road trips. They're spending lots of time at family members when they're going to have their phone with them. They're going to have it in the back of their mind. Boy, I wish I was playing RuneScape Mobile at the time. So in addition to releasing less information, they also need to be more pointed about how the information is presented and when it's presented. And also, let's just say, employ the Steve Jobs effect to the point where you can convince people that one of your failures, or what people see as a failure, is actually a success. And the classic thing I point to on this is when the iPhone 4 came out and it was dropping calls if you held the phone wrong. And that moved from a discussion about the iPhone 4 to a discussion about all of the other cell phones that were out, because if you held the other cell phones that were also out in the market, they'd drop their signal too. So that morphed to that discussion instead of that. So it's basically a deflection and a move into a different area of marketing, let's just say. And we'll be talking more about this in the coming months, I feel, because I want to do a bit on this in February, I think, and actually probably March, or no, maybe January. Yeah, maybe January. We'll see. But if not January, then March, we'll be talking about this, because it's really, really important going forward. And it's something that if Jagex were to correct this and to change the way they speak to the public, we would be seeing a completely different community response. So, because as we see, everything that has been released going back to this past summer has been A-OK upon release, hasn't it? There's been nothing game-breaking.
Absolutely.
It was a little dry in September and August, but the actual content that came out was good. It was just a matter of perception. So, but that's the tease for this week. And, you know, we keep talking about this, but it's something that needs to be built up and something that needs to be worked on, in particular for the case of RuneScape. So thank you for that question. Next up from Thieves. Hey, guys, with the mining and smithing rework being a massive success, do you think that Jagex should take the time to revamp the skills pertaining to the other sides of the combat triangle in the same way, or could the same result be achieved by an entirely new skill? Thanks, guys. And I think what Thieves is alluding to there is something like what Old School is potentially getting with Warden.
Right. I think what you were talking about earlier, Shane, it's what I would want to see.
Yeah, fletching, crafting with range.
And rune crafting.
Yeah.
I would like to see those reworked, allowing them to make a tier. I mean, using mining and smithing as a blueprint, because I think that's a great... I mean, this is a blueprint going forward, really.
Just like deep sea fishing and the clue scroll rework were.
Yep, exactly.
I don't think we need something like warding right now. I assume that's the direction he's going on this, because we have invention and whatnot.
So I'm gonna play ignorant real quick. What is warding? I have not heard of that. Is it a new skill coming out in Old School?
Yeah, it's basically a skill that would use existing items in game and break them down and use them to make enhanced magic gear. So basically take certain aspects of RS3 invention, but tailor them specifically to magic.
So it's basically
invention light,
smithing magic.
Yeah. Basically, take invention light, throw in a bit of smithing, and throw in a bit of magic.
Gotcha. So it's okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We're not sure if that's actually going to happen yet, but it's a thing. Gotcha. I would say the ones that probably need to be reworked most are fletching and crafting. I think rune crafting is actually in a pretty good place right now.
Yeah, I don't think rune crafting needs to be updated. I think you could kill two birds with one stone with crafting, because you could make the cloth armor and then you could make the leather armor and do both combat triangles. I don't think there's too much to do with fletching other than just maybe fill out the ammo types a bit more like you would
and
with smithing.
And make it so that high-level fletchers can make decent things.
Right, make an overload equivalent arrows and ammo and stuff like that. But I think crafting, you could really... like I said, you could tackle two skills with that one skill, and you could really make it awesome.
Because if they could do that,
I would easily hold off another 2-3 years for a new skill if they spent a year and a half reworking crafting completely. That would be awesome.
Yeah. And you see, the problem that happened with EOC is it took the magic longbow, which used to be really good, and made that a tier 50 ranged weapon, but you need level 80 fletching to make it. So
yeah,
that was that problem. Yeah, I'd say fletching crafting. Though I think at this point, what you could do instead is you could maybe shift the PVM dynamics away from being 100% magic. I think they should try that first, because that's probably an easier thing to do.
Right, to sort of gauge or at least balance out the content that they need to fill out.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on that question?
Nope.
Nope.
I think that's it.
All righty. Well, if you guys want to send your own questions in, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave them on Twitter in a DM or at mention to @rsbnb. And you can also post them at update.rsbnb.com/ask. So moving into tech news, this is kind of a tech news catch-up week for things that might have happened over Christmas. And our first one is a bit of a hack or an exploit towards Chromecast, Google Homes, and smart TVs. So far, what's being called Cast Hack, this was a thing that was floating around the internet over Christmas, found 72,341 exposed devices. It renamed 8,254 of them. 1,542 were Google Homes, and 67,049 were smart TVs or Chromecast devices. And of those 72,000, 65,283 were forced to play video from the YouTube channel known as PewDiePie.
I wonder if he got credit for the views.
Oh, he did.
Absolutely.
Oh, he did. Because it was just basically accessing the YouTube functions of all these TVs and making them play these videos. And the reason for this is because there were some people online who were concerned that he was going to lose his number one YouTube subscriber spot on the internet. So hackers decided that, hey, why don't we take advantage of something called Universal Plug and Play on the internet and make it so that these Google Home devices and Chromecasts and smart TVs that are accessible, let's just take over them and send the user a message and play a video, and maybe they'll subscribe to that channel.
Because we don't, yeah, that's what we should be doing. That's what I want the smart people doing. Not anything about climate change. No, let's just make PewDiePie keep him number one. Okay.
And this is as a result of the default state that many consumer-grade routers ship in. Universal Plug and Play, or abbreviated as UPnP, is a feature that is turned on most routers. And what this lets services do, like an Xbox, for example, is to request that router open up a specific port. And then what that lets that Xbox do is it lets the Xbox communicate better to the Xbox Live service, so the people playing on their Xboxes can get that coveted green open network status. So that's what this is all brought about by, is Universal Plug and Play. And the fix is as simple as turning this off in your router settings. But of course, the fact that it's defaulted on for many people just shows how large of an attack surface you can wind up with, like something like this. And they make a note: we are no longer playing videos, just testing for exposed devices. So
okay,
you didn't hear about this one. It's not outright malicious, but it's definitely a bit of an annoyance and a security wake up call for people. So.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of the days of pirate radio, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the Windows XP.
And what's the message we're trying to spread? Keep subscribing to PewDiePie. Come on, guys.
It's like the Windows XP Messenger bug, where the message windows would appear on Windows XP computers that wouldn't. Microsoft was shipping the firewall turned off on XP.
Of course.
All right. So moving into something that could be a little bit more nefarious, this one comes from The Intercept, which is Glenn Greenwald's journalism company, talking about Ring video doorbells. So Ring video doorbells are a smart home technology, and the idea behind these is you can buy a doorbell or a security light, and what they'll do is they'll detect movement outside, and if they detect movement, they will start recording. And that video is, of course, uploaded to the Ring servers, because if you're out and about and you're away, you're going to get a notification on your phone that your doorbell or your light was triggered. And with that, you'll be able to either send a message and talk to the person who is there, or activate the video feed and see what was happening. So what ended up happening with this is that all of the video that is uploaded to Ring servers is stored unencrypted, but Ring was contracting out, and they were training a machine learning algorithm so that their servers and services would be able to better recognize the difference between, say, a tree and a burglar, or a dog and a person. So that's what happens with any kind of machine learning, is that the software, the algorithms, need to be trained to know what is what. And that's what Ring contracted out to do. And in this contracting out, they made available all of the video that was on their servers to a company in Ukraine doing this for them. And because of this, they had complete access to video created by every Ring camera around the world. These videos were not encrypted, so anyone could have walked away with a huge hard drive, scooped up a bunch of the files, and mined them for who knows what kind of information that was on them. Now, yes, well, these Ring video doorbells are an impressive security device, and they have gained huge prominence in the U.S. and around the world. This underscores the security problems that we are seeing in the modern world with smart appliances and smart devices, that you need to train them to actually do this. And you could have little slip-ups like this, as we have with Ring, where all of this data is available to some third party in Ukraine. And this is just the standard buyer beware on the internet, that if you're putting something on the internet, whether it's a piece of text in a blog or video from your doorbell, if it's on the internet, there's a chance that someone might be able to get a hold of it.
Yeah, I would just advise not having something that keeps track of your coming and going and anyone else coming and going, and it just seems like a bad idea. Those records are there, and you'd be better off if they weren't there.
They provided a statement. We take the privacy and security of our customers' personal information extremely seriously, and in order to improve our service, we view and annotate certain Ring videos. These videos are sourced exclusively from publicly shared Ring videos from the Neighbors app and a small fraction of Ring users who have provided their explicit written consent to allow us to access and utilize their videos for such purposes. So if you said yes to this, or you're using the public Neighbors app, that's where this comes in, because the Neighbors app is designed to provide a neighborhood watch kind of service with these smart devices.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a good thing.
I mean, it's not as bad as information being sold, but it's still the picture of your front doorstep being advertised.
And you're putting yourself under
provide the Neighbors app.
Well, think about this, like you're essentially putting yourself under voluntary surveillance to Ring Corp or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't feel comfortable like that.
Yeah, and you know, it's a question of security, privacy, convenience kind of thing. Oh, and what do you know? They're owned by Amazon.
I wonder, you think Jeff will keep that one, or will that go to the wife?
I mean, you have to have cameras on every doorstep so you can know if your packages get there on time. I mean, come on.
He definitely developed that one, right? He wanted to see who was coming and going from the house.
It's like, all right, we're going to make our own shipping company. Well, we have to get a camera so we can monitor these assholes, because we need to know.
Well,
if they're,
you know, Ring started off as their own company, then they're bought by Amazon. So,
oh, okay,
yeah. All right, last piece of tech news. Bungie is departing Activision, and in the headline, takes back its destiny, is what they're saying with this.
Bye-bye.
So, you know, this is pretty big because, you know, for the Battle.net launcher, handles Blizzard games, but also Activision games, most notably Black Ops 4, but also Destiny, it's now in there. So I gotta wonder what's going to happen with that for people who already have Destiny 2 in their launcher. I guess that would mean Destiny 2 and Destiny 1 would stay with Activision.
You would think.
And I know a lot of folks have been saying that, you know, going back to when Bungie was a subsidiary of Microsoft and were producing Halo games, that they said that's when they were at their best, when they were their own independent body. So this could be good for them, I think.
Yeah, I would think so. It's not always good to get swallowed up by those big...
Yeah, I was going to say, Blizzard needs to take a couple notes from Bungie, because they're slowly dissolving into absolute nothing.
Not no, going good for Bungie right now.
Good for Bungie, I love it. But,
got to see what their next one will be. And, you know, if they can just break the ground again as they did with Halo, and they can do it on their own, that would certainly set the...
Yeah, I mean,
play market on
they definitely have their history and their portfolio. It's not like they're not a known company. Like, I think they could do very well on their own. You know, it's not like somebody starting up a game studio with 10 people in their basement and trying to make it. Like, they have Destiny and Halo, two AAA titles with, you know, hundreds of millions of sales. I think if they branched out, they'd still be able to pay the bills.
Yep. But this will be a good one to watch going forward, and we'll have to see if anything comes from this with E3 in later this summer. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so we're going to wrap up the show quickly, but first just head over to Informer and view our end of 2018 Informer Roundup, where we basically ran through the articles we had in December. And we went through everyone's favorites throughout the entirety of the year. Basically, I asked everybody to provide your own personal favorite that you wrote and your favorite that someone else wrote. And we have a pretty clear trend with this here as to what the favorite article of the year was. So I'll let everybody read that at informer.rsbnb.com. And we also had Patrick's editor's pick, King Kala's editor's pick, of his year, and that was Tannis's your article, Tannis, going back to Game Blast.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
There you go.
Thank you.
So
that's cool.
And we also do have a grueling Skill of the Month happening here in January so far with Ranged. Currently, we have Sorensen in first place with 16.1 million XP gained. But JamAndy52 is not far behind with 14.2. And in third place, we have CompSci with 1.2 mil.
He's back.
And he did it again for December construction.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious. Okay.
Yeah. 11.5 million XP in one day.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's something, hey?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we do have a backlog of achievements as we haven't done these for a while, so let's get going. Tannis, go.
All right, let's start with Starlit. Starlit has achieved a lot. So, 99 runecrafting on January 9th, 120 attack on the 9th, 120 defense on the 9th, 99 cooking on the 9th, 99 hunter, 200 mil Slayer, 99 fire making, 99 wood cutting, 120 constitution, 120 magic, 120 Slayer.
You know, I think that might be a bug, because how do you get 120 Slayer and a 200 mil Slayer in a day? That might be on my system here.
Okay. 200 constitution. Huh, okay. And we've got 99 farming, 120 thieving, 120 agility, 120 ranged, 120 prayer, 120 summoning, 99 crafting, 99 Slayer. 99 Herblore. 99 Attack. 99 Prayer. We went over some of these already. Okay, Divination. 99 Divination. 99 Summoning. 99 Dungeoneering. 99 Thieving. 99 Construction. Ranged. Strength. Fletching. Defense. Smithing. Fishing. Mining. Agility. And Magic. Starlit, you are a badass.
I think I need to have a look at the 120, 200 mil cases there.
Yeah, I think there was some duplicates, I felt, but yeah.
Okay. Or
something. Maybe not. I don't know. Yeah, there was. There, Prayer and Slayer, I'm pretty sure, was on there.
Yeah.
A couple times. But anyway, still, badass. That's a lot. That is a lot.
All right. Next. Oh, I'm next. Right. I'm next. I'm sorry about that.
I thought I put
Dave in the middle. I put me in the middle. All right. Rohoho with 99 Constitution on January 9th. Nanya Business 9 with 99 Farming.
Yes.
Get it.
I love it.
Matt's 374 with 99 Dungeoneering on the 8th. On the 6th, Harlot Man with 99 Ranged. Silver Wiz 9, a.k.a. Paul, with 99 Invention. On the 5th, we had Corrupt Pony with 99 Strength. On January 4th, Idiot on a Stick with 120 Slayer. Roll a Dude 540 with 99 Dungeoneering. Zach Masta with 99 Smithing on the 3rd. Cool Banksy with 99 Runecrafting on the 2nd. Dirpalt New with 99 Firemaking on the 1st. Vapor 13579 with 99 Thieving on the 1st. Ray 66 with 200 million Mining XP on the 1st. Jamandy 52 with 120 Farming on the 1st. Lady Claw with 99 Invention on the 1st. Supreme Pack with 120 Invention on December 31st, 2018. That Noob You Saw with 120 Slayer on December 31st. Zach Masta with 99 Mining on December 31st. Setharoth with 99 Herblore on the 30th. Cody Loco 252 with 99 Invention on the 30th. And over to you, Dave.
And on the 29th, we have Skater Dan Man with 99 Defense and 99 Attack. Also on the 29th, we have Up the Irons 05 with 99 Firemaking. On the 28th, we have Mama Mystic with 99 Invention. I Defend with 99 Agility. On the 27th, we have No Guard 210 with 99 Defense. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, We're Cool with 99 Fishing. We have Ro Ho Ho with 120 Invention. On the 26th, we have Doikles with 99 Agility. We have Zookeeper 53 with 99 Divination. Fire Mana with 99 Invention. And then on Christmas Day, December 25th, we have Blind Man 0122 with 99 Cooking. Jay Hammo with 99 Hunter. Fintom with 120 Dungeoneering. And then on the 24th, we have Zilcam with 99 Fishing, 99 Runecrafting, 99 Construction, 99 Strength, 99 Fletching, 99 Attack, 99 Firemaking, 99 Divination, 99 Cooking, 99 Woodcutting, 99 Invention, 99 Herblore, 99 Range. 99 Herblore was Tambino. He snuck one in there. Zilcam with 99 Range. Sillycat 98 with 99 Slayer. Zilcam again with 99 Farming, 99 Hunter. And then on the 23rd, we have Mats 374 with 99 Runecrafting. On the 23rd again, we have Jaguar 007 with 99 Strength. Dirpalt New with 99 Fishing. And then on the 22nd, wrapping it up with Zocam once again with 99 Crafting, 99 Agility, 99 Thieving, and 99 Smithing. So that is a mouthful, and that is crazy for everybody that has achieved so much in so little time.
Nicely done. And, you know, this script has always had that issue with Slayer, and it probably has issues with other things too. So I'm going to have a look at that. That was weird. Oh. Very nice. All right.
Yeah, good job.
So first pick of the week of 2018.
2019.
Sorry. Boy, we're getting...
Oh, it's been a long year already, and we're 2 weeks in.
You have no idea. All right. What do you got for us?
So I have, as most of you probably know, but are about to find out, Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out in, I think it's about a little over 2 weeks. So my pick is Kingdom Hearts, The Story So Far, which is basically an anthology of every Kingdom Hearts title released to date. It includes Kingdom Hearts Final Mix, Kingdom Hearts Rechain of Memories, Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days, Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix, Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep Final Mix, Kingdom Hearts Recoded, the HD Remastered Cinematics, Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, HD, Kingdom Hearts 0.2 Birth by Sleep, which is basically a prologue into 3, and then Kingdom Hearts X Back Cover, which is a movie. So it's a mix of full remastered games and remastered HD cinematics for the shorter games, but basically it is... basically all you need if you're new to the series or if you're a veteran of the series but just looking to catch up on a new console before 3 comes out. Super great buy. It actually came out October of last year, so fairly recently. I actually got it for Christmas, and I've been playing the crap out of it. I love it. But yeah, it's definitely a nice little refresher. It's $40 US, so it's a steal when you're getting basically 12... Well, I guess more like 10 games worth of content for $40.
So it's kind of like Halo Master Chief Collection, except for Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. So I definitely recommend it. So.
And PS4 only.
PS4, yes, that is correct. Even though Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out for Xbox and PS4, the collection is just on PS4.
All right. I can't speak to the series or anything along that, so I assume it's good, but
It's basically a mashup of, as weird as it sounds, Disney characters and Final Fantasy characters.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I've heard really good things about it.
It's if you can get past kind of like the kind of cheesiness of the story, because granted, the series started back in 2002, so I mean, still our generation, but I mean, they were kind of catering to the 10 to 15-year-old crowd. But now with Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out, you know, we're all almost 30 or, you know, late 20s, early 30s coming in. But, I mean, if you can sort of get past the Disney aspect, it's a really great game and great series that, you know, goes basically on and on. It's kind of known as one of the most non-linear stories there is because all these titles just jump around in the timeline. So it's kind of confusing to follow. But once you get it, it's really good, actually. So I'd definitely give it a shot if you haven't tried it. So,
alrighty, sounds good. What have we been up to? I mean, we don't need to say what we've been up to in our assets.
Right.
I think that's obvious. Mining and smithing reworks.
Lots of whacking rocks, that's for sure.
So is there anything anyone else wants to say regarding what they've been up to in RS, or should we just say mining and smithing rework? Anything interesting happen over the Christmas period RS-wise?
No, not a whole lot. It's basically just been the last week getting ready for mining and smithing and hitting the ground running when it came out. So it's definitely been a very fun and very good start to the new year for sure. So,
All right. Well, with that being said, I think we can safely say that's it for this episode of RSPMB Update, the first of 2019, and definitely starting off the year on the right foot. So we'll be back next week. So thank you, Dave, for joining us. It's been great.
Good to be back.
If you listeners want to join us out there, just head on over to Friends Chat Bits, Bytes, and Game. You can chat with us, play with us, and whatnot. We're also on Discord at rsbnb.com/Discord, where you can join, chat with us there, too. We're trying to promote that a bit in 2019, make that another community hub in addition to the Friends Chat. And, of course, you can find full show notes and whatnot at update.rsbnb.com, and of course the Patreon page at patreon.com/rsbnb. So we will see you next week for episode 2 of 2019. Take care, everyone.
See you guys.
See ya.